You are listening to Geek Speak. In-kind support comes from your membership and from Louie the Computer Guy, providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992, and from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going well.
Good deal.
So, it looks like you're back up 1.84% in the last hour.
Yeah, I've regained 75 cents. No, I don't know. Matt and I were just talking about my Bitcoin millionaire venture. Not going so well. I bought in at a little over 11,000. You know, the interesting thing is I had already lost money before I actually owned the Bitcoin, because it takes 3 days from the time that you make your purchase to when it actually gets verified and gets put in your wallet. So when I purchased at 11,000 and change, it took 3 days, and by then it was down under 10,000. it's, you know, what a spectacular way to lose money.
Yeah.
So
big numbers and little changes.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it's all good, you know. I think I invested just the right amount.
Yep.
In it. So,
exactly.
You know, I mean, I go down to Blackhawk and, you know, throw $25 at the video poker machines without even blinking an eye. So, you know, I'm getting a better return from Bitcoin than I do from video poker.
There you go. Point.
So that's all I can say. Yeah.
Call in with your questions and
we'll answer them.
We'll answer them. Yeah. 963-2976.
Yep. And so I was going to ask you, Matt. Actually, I was going to, I'm just going to spring this on you. Have you seen the new toy that, the new cooking gadget, the thing you put in you clamp on the side of the pot and it circulates the water and heats it up?
A sous vide machine?
The sous vide machine, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I've been telling everybody about my sous vide because I've been playing with it a lot and having a lot of fun with it. We got a call already. So
you're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks. It's Donna. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. How you doing, Donna?
I'm doing pretty well. Just, you know, getting ready for the big move.
Wow.
To Florida. this week, but I did want to call because I wanted to ask you guys, well, what is going on with, did you see David Pogue's review of HomePod, Apple HomePod?
No.
Well, first of all, I do want to mention David Pogue. You guys are familiar with him, right?
Uh-huh.
P-O-G-U-E. I just want to mention him to, you know, your listeners, because he's always really fun to listen to for reviews. So
okay.
If I haven't watched the HomePod review, but I did see something about the fact that he said, well, it sounds really good, but the voice commands are limited to like Apple Music or something like that. So do you know anything about the HomePod yet?
I think I heard basically those two, the same things, is that somebody compared them to a $1,000 set of speakers and said it sounds very good, and that it looks like Apple's kind of going towards where it's like, you know, they're only going to, or so far there's only Apple services on the HomePod, so it's, you're kind of limited as to what's available to you.
So let me ask you guys this. So on a HomePod or any of these kind of devices, can you hook them up to a regular stereo system? Because these are all like Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and, you know.
Well, you know, I got to say that I actually just had a client who they received a Google Home for Christmas, and they did not like the idea of being under constant electronic surveillance from the Google Home device, and they gave it to me so that I can be under constant electronic surveillance. And I did check. I was looking around for an 1/8-inch jack on it, and doesn't have one of those. So if that's your question, like, you know, whether you can hook that, like send the audio out from the Google Home device to your stereo, that's a big goose egg on that.
Okay.
And
well, it would be nice to be able to have my stereo in one room and have speakers in the other, you know what I mean, hook them all up like a home surround town or whatever, because I'm constantly going from one room to the next.
Yeah. Well, I do know this, like my daughter and son-in-law have several Google Homes, right?
Yes, and the other one, what's the thing?
Alexa?
No, yes, no. Alexa. Yeah,
they have an Alexa? I didn't know.
Yeah, they have an Alexa.
Okay. My grandson doesn't know how to say Alexa yet, but he does know how to say, hey, Google. So,
enunciated. Is it enunciated to the point where it works?
Yeah, they need to train the device, you know, basically add a user.
Well,
but anyway, what I was getting at is that those speakers, you can basically tell it which stations on the Google Home network you want to send the signal to, and they're perfectly synced. There's no jitter between the devices.
Because you can maybe use a Chromecast or something to get a stream into your stereo system or something like that.
Yeah. Got
oh,
it. Yeah. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing technology. And I've actually, am doing research right now. I've got a client who wants to completely remake her home she wants to turn her home into a smart home. And, so we're, and she mentioned the HomePod? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She mentioned that as being one of the devices that she wants me to check out. So, I will be watching that video.
Well, I do like, you know, Alexa. That worked out pretty well, but the Echo Dot is pretty small and doesn't sound that great. But I have two separate Sonos Bluetooth speakers.
Uh-huh.
And those sound phenomenal.
Yeah, that Sonos is really a very mature system. You know, I've done some work for a couple of clients that have those in place and just been very impressed with, you know, the ease of use, I guess would be the best way to put it. So,
right, and you know what I did was I hooked it up wirelessly, obviously, so that I can play like podcasts or anything from my iPhone to that Sonos speaker, and it's it's pretty nice. Yeah, I really like it.
Cool.
So, but anyway, okay. Nice. So I'm really curious to hear what the results of your research is for, you know, setting up somebody's smart home, because eventually I'll probably be doing that when I get a place out there.
Yeah, I'm starting to entertain that idea as well. So,
yeah.
I'll probably do something a little more open source, but it'll be interesting to do the experiment.
Well, you know, that's what the Raspberry Pis are good for.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that when I was at Google I.O. and I met somebody who had, I think he had like four or five Raspberry Pis, one for his voice over IP system, one for, you know, his web, you know, his, what do you call it, his media center, all that stuff, and then his web cameras. I mean, we talked about that once a long time ago, but I think, you know, and they're not that hard to program for somebody who's a little handy with Linux, you know?
Yeah. So. You'll have to look at the Raspberry Pi 0W then.
Oh, okay.
It's $5 from Micro Center or $10 most everywhere else that sells them. And anyway, it's kind of like the original Raspberry Pi. It has a 1 core, 1 gigahertz, and half a gig of RAM. On a very, very small form factor.
Wow.
But it still has the little connector for their little camera, so you can do a camera on it, and it has wireless built in, and it's like half the size of a credit card.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, well, listen.
You know, the only thing I don't like about the whole Raspberry Pi thing is...
What?
Is that whenever you guys start talking about it, I start getting hungry. And... And I start thinking, I like start visualizing, like putting a scoop of ice cream on one, which is really pretty unsettling if you think about it. You know,
that's right.
It would probably not be good. It would keep it cool for a while, but
would the magic blue smoke escape into your ice cream?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just really trying to. If it's going to be Raspberry Pi, it's got to be gluten free. You know, So that's all I'm saying.
Well, hey, well, maybe when I talk to you guys next week, I'll be close to Florida or in Florida. So
you aren't going to stop in Glenwood Springs or Carbondale on your way through to Florida?
I know. I'm going through Tucson.
You're taking the low road.
I'm in New Orleans. Yeah, I'm taking the low road.
All right.
So anyway, well, listen,
safe travels,
show.
Okay?
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon, and I'll listen to the rest of the show. Thanks.
Uh-huh. Bye.
Bye.
This is Donna Dalton, our foreign correspondent.
Yeah, from California.
About to come even... become even more. She's just doing this, like the citrus belt.
Yeah.
Know? So she's going to like just a different citrus location. So
you're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976.
Call in with all your tech questions. Or if you want to talk about how the Olympics got hacked. Or if you want to talk about how data centers that are mining cryptocurrency are using more electricity than homes in the continent of Iceland. It is a continent, right?
Well, it's on a, listen, not a subduction. It's the other one. It's where it's splitting apart. So it's on the center. So you have the oceanic.
I'm so ashamed that I don't know that for sure.
You have the oceanic plate, and it's the opposite of a subduction zone. So it's actually the plate is breaking apart. And so the magma wells up and you get Iceland.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if it's on a, quote, continent or if it's an island. I think it's an island, technically.
I think they're saying that it's technically...
Or is it part of Eurasia?
Oh. Yeah. Let's see.
So.
As you know, I was really a whiz. I was really a whiz in that geography stuff in high school.
Did you memorize all 27 of the plate names?
No. I don't think back in those days they actually knew about all those plates.
Yeah, that'd be the mid-70s when they started figuring out all that.
Yeah. But I had a pretty draconian geography teacher, you know, and it was, you know, we just had to basically know every country in the world as of that day. So,
Have you heard the Animaniacs, every country?
It's a country. It's a country, by the way.
It is a country, but it's not a continent.
A Nordic island country of Europe. Located in the North Atlantic Ocean. So it's got to be on the same plate as Scandinavia, I'm guessing. So,
Right.
That's intriguing. They don't call it Geek Speak for nothing.
No.
That's for sure. So let's see. What else were we talking about?
So I guess that brings us to the green energy future. It's like, what's the cost of all the mining of the Bitcoin?
Yeah.
That's a lot of power.
It is. That was a pretty shocking article to me, you know, to see that it really was having that kind of impact on the world. So, and that's, I guess the argument would be what's worse for the world energy situation, Bitcoin or recreational marijuana? So.
Okay. Somebody do the study and do the math.
Exactly. You know, if I was a grad student, I would have a lot of things that I would want to do.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I can sit down and do the numbers.
Yeah. You know, my favorite one, and this is completely a computer-related subject, is what impact does the amount of time that people take out of their work day or their productivity time to deal with forgotten and lost passwords? And... so if you like totaled up all that time, you know, because I would say that I probably spend, just on my own behalf, probably spend 15 minutes a day dealing with, you know, some sort of a password issue. And I know there are a lot of people that are probably not nearly as good at it as I am. So like if you add up all those minutes, all those 15 minute blocks and, you know, all that, what percentage of the American gross national product
is spent on recovery?
Resetting passwords.
I'm sure I think I've read a couple on that one. I think LastPass had a reasonably good article on that, although they're a little biased given their position as a network.
Yeah,
password manager.
That's like a water seller giving you free samples of salt, you know?
Yeah.
So.
But I don't know. At this point, it's kind of, you have to go with a password manager. You memorize one very strong password. And something decent to get into your computer.
I just use the same password for everything. It works really good. So
just use different email addresses.
Get another call.
You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, this is Craig and Rifle. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good to hear from you there, Craig and Rifle.
Good to hear you. Hear you guys also.
How's your new year going so far?
I have a solution for Donna.
Oh, a solution? Okay.
Yeah. You can take something like a 30-year-old Yamaha receiver. You can run speaker wires to a set of Technique speakers and a set of Fishers, and then also you can run it to a Technique's receiver and use it as a booster to run some Audio Lab speakers that are 50 years old. And then you can have a Harman Kardon that goes with a Monster speaker selector that runs four different sets of acoustic audio speakers. And then you've got seamless sound like I do from every room in my house, including going outside to my back house and office where I have speakers outside. So a little thing called speaker wire connected to all these things works beautifully. And you can put things on it like a record player
okay.
and a DVD player.
Yeah.
And a tape player, which I have all those things that still function. And I
so let me just stop you right here. Are you saying that you can get audio from somewhere other than the internet?
Yes. In fact, when I listen to things that I can't get, like Studio C out of Boulder or KSPN, I run them from my computer into my Harman Kardon.
There you go.
And so I can listen to computer things through traditional audio sources and put it on multiple speakers, and I don't have anyone listening to me.
Yeah, truth be told, I've got the same setup.
I've got the
Apple Airport Express that works as a great remote speaker dump for my iTunes. But it's basically comes down to... if you want to be able to talk to your speaker, then that's where it gets messy. So
what I have to say to my speaker is, can I have a little more bass, please? And then I just turn.
I thought you were going to say more cowbell.
A little dial. but I do also have these Bluetooth receiver senders that you can turn virtually anything into a Bluetooth device. So yeah. I can take my Apple or I can take my Samsung Galaxy and I can plug this in and I can send it to any one of my receivers also.
Nice.
Yeah, I've been looking at some of those. Those look pretty handy.
Yeah, there is a way to combine all these things, but speaker wire is really kind of a great thing.
Yes. Well, I just got to let you know, I'm taking a lot of incoming from Donna Dalton via iMessage at this moment, and she's just absolutely insistent that she has to be able to control it through her Echo, or her iPhone, or her cowbell.
Hey,
so.
You know, have her listen to a good old-fashioned Harman Kardon receiver, and see. Have her come here, and I'll put on my 50-year-old Audio Laboratory speakers that came out of the Denver area many years ago.
You know,
and let's see what you'd rather listen to.
Yeah. We should just we got to take you up on that, and what we'll do is we'll do a live remote of Geek Speak, and we'll like have the Geek Speak theme music played through your Monster speaker system, and you know, and you just basically do the whole broadcast right from there.
Come on over.
Yeah,
I got beer in the fridge, buddy.
All right.
All right. See you guys.
Take care, Craig.
Bye.
Have a few more minutes here. 963-2976. Call in with your computer questions or. Any other questions you want to ask us, geeks?
Speaker wire questions?
Speaker wire questions,
yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I just I got a real cheap Class D amplifier from one of the online resellers that I work with, and it has a speak-on connection, and then I had to take off the quarter inches and turn it into regular plugs, so.
Okay.
You know, 300 RMS watts of Class D sounds pretty good through a decent set of speakers.
Nice. Yeah, that's I don't even think I have any. Well, I actually do have one Class D amplifier still sitting around my shop, but that sucker's getting ready to go up on Roaring Fork Swap.
Well, you try to use only A and B ones, so they're
gonna
weigh a ton.
There's gonna be a massive liquidation of audio equipment here coming up. So
all right,
yeah, So let's see what else is going on out there. Well, let's see. It looks like there's a story about his social media making your child sad, but that story just makes me feel sad, so I'm not going to read that one.
So VideoLAN came out with VLC3, okay, which has a lot of nifty.
Okay, now VLC, that's the video player.
Right.
That's the little orange cone, right?
Yep, little orange cone, and it'll do much more than just media playback, but it is very good.
Oh yeah, no, that thing media. That's the best video player for the Mac platform, just straight up, if you ask me. So
yeah,
another call.
All right, so you're on with the geeks.
Hello, this is Vladimir. I play the prank of my friend Donald, and I'm trying to cover up my computer. How do I do it?
You're breaking up really badly. It sounds like you have poor cell phone reception.
Oh my God, he's calling from the Russian frontier.
Something.
Holy moly.
Oh. All right. Yeah, we.
Yeah. He needs to get some speaker wire.
Yeah, for an antenna for his cell phone.
Nice. Okay, so what were you talking about?
So
you're talking about the VLC player, the new version of the VLC player.
Yeah, so they came out with version 3, which supports 10 and 12-bit HDR, which is high dynamic range.
Mm-hmm.
So there's less limitations for that. So it'll look great on your computers, monitors that have that extra depth of field. It'll also play 360 video and audio. So you can, I guess you can record 360 video now, and you can tell the player to turn around and view it.
Very nice.
And a bunch of little smaller upgrades for it, but it looks like those are the two big ones. And you can also use it to make streams and mux audio and do all kinds of fancy stuff in the background if you're so inclined. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Very cool.
So
you know what I'm looking for right now is I'm looking for a DMX lighting controller. Are you familiar with that technology?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
How many channels?
Well, I mean, so what does it mean, like, channels? I mean, like, does that mean, like, how many different lights you have connected to?
Yeah, because it's kind of set up like a serial interface where you can assign assign an ID to, and I'm a little rusty at this, so I'd have to double check, but I believe you can, on your DMX,
assign an ID to each one of your devices.
So you can set
each one of your light units.
Yeah, and then you can, the controller goes, oh, I have a, and figures out what's out there and.
Okay.
Or at least sends the command to it to do something.
I think I'll probably just start with the 4-channel and basically see how that goes. It's only $62.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
So usually lighting stuff is.
I've been picking up $19 LED lights.
Uh-huh.
Put the XLR connector on them. Does that use a regular XLR connector?
I believe it does.
Is it? It's not a 4-pin?
I think it's a regular 3-pin, but I'd have to go look at the specifications.
Great, I got a bunch of those too. So, all right. Well, hey. Our listeners just wasted another perfectly good 25 minutes of their lives.
Hopefully they're watching it snow, since it's kind of doing that now. It's been blustery all afternoon.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, finally. Definitely. Very pleased. You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Hey, thanks for running the board, Matt.
Absolutely. Be safe out there. Have a great week.
See you next week.